Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our subject is, Fighting Christians Are Loving Subjects. Now, the subject of the lesson is an affirmation, a declaration. It is an assertion of a proposed truth. But it is really true, is it not? The subject suggests the New Testament teaching that being a Christian is somewhat like being at war. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6:12. He also said, war a good warfare, 1 Timothy 1:18, and to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:3. And as for himself, he said, I have fought a good fight, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. And Christ is mentioned as the captain of our salvation, Hebrews 2:10. Now, these and other military terminologies are used in the Scriptures to describe what it is to follow Christ. And we also find such words as contend and to strive. John 18 and verse 36 pictures the disciples of Christ as servants who are willing to fight. Now, actually, the servant is a bond servant, owned by another, subject to his master, bought with a price. And as Paul told his brethren, ye are not your own. Now, to be subject means to be accountable and submissive and obedient. It means you're loyal, you're answerable to the one who is over you. As citizens in the kingdom of Christ, we're subject to our king. This does not to be questioned. Therefore, we find in Scripture Christians as servants, but who are subject to Christ, and who are involved in fighting. But are such servants and such subjects actually loving as they fight? Now, we have to understand the nature of the warfare in which we are involved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Yes, friend, we have an adversary, and that adversary is the devil, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And our weaponry is spelled out for us in Ephesians chapter 6. It's a spiritual weaponry. We're in a war of flesh versus the spirit, good versus evil, right versus wrong, a war of truth against error. It's the cause of God against the cause of Satan. And at stake are the minds and the souls and the lives and the eternal destinies of human beings. And this warfare includes both offensive and defensive actions. There'll be losses and there'll be gains, many confrontations and conflicts. There are hardships and persecutions that have to be borne at times, often intense suffering of the body and the heart, having allies as well as enemies, support as well as opposition. It includes the preaching as well as the doing of the will of the Lord, and exposing and opposing everything that's contrary to it. This is the nature of our warfare. And it's not always a pleasant undertaking, but it's always the right fight. We wage war for truth and for salvation and for souls. We're fighting for spiritual peace and fellowship with God. We're fighting for forgiveness. We want heaven. We wage war against sin and immorality and ignorance and prejudice. We fight against unfaithfulness and apostasy, all kinds of error and division. And unless we understand that we are soldiers at war and understand the nature of our warfare, we cannot expect to be proper subjects and servants as we are expected to be. Now, is it fair to classify Paul as a fighter? Those who know biblical revelation will quickly answer, yes, Paul said, I fought a good fight. Please observe him as you study his life and his travels, his words, his deeds, his attitudes, and the stand he took and the battles he waged. For what did he fight? Friend, he fought for the truth, and for God, and for Christ, and the church. He fought for the souls of saints and sinners. And against what did he fight? Suffice it to say that he fought every false way. Or did this bring him into conflict with other people? Why, certainly it did. You will recall his encounter with Elymas, how Paul struck him blind. Consider the Judaizers with whom he always had to deal. He fought with the pagan Athenian philosophers, the Roman and Jewish authorities. He had to fight with false brethren publicly and privately, openly, face to face, before them all. Paul was always in the thick of battle. And seeing he was a fighter, could he also be described as loving? You know, there are some who consider fighting and loving to be opposites. What was Paul's motive for fighting? What did he seek? What was his attitude toward Christ and truth and other people? Did he care about others? All we have to do is to read what he wrote, and you'll know the answer. In Philippians he said, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." In Philippians 3 he said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I might win Christ." He said in Romans chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You cannot misunderstand Paul's attitude here. In Romans 9, he said, "For I wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Did not the Holy Spirit cause him to write that great chapter of the descriptions of love in 1 Corinthians 13? Do you think Paul misunderstood the meaning of love and what love is? And do you think Paul was a loyal subject? Why, Paul said in Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Friend, Paul was totally committed to Christ. He said, "Therefore, if the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything." Who can doubt Paul's loyalty and his subjection to the Lord? Or was he also loving? Did Paul's fighting make him less loving? Did it make him unloving? Why, who would dare to make such a charge against him? And we wonder why some today impugn the love in the hearts of those who fight God's warfare like Paul did. Why have some concluded that fighting and loving are necessarily at conflict against each other? Cannot they conceive of hating sin and loving the sinner, even as did our Savior? Now consider the evidence of Paul's love in addition to his words. Consider what he sacrificed in order to be a follower of Christ. Consider what he suffered to be a proclaimer of the truth. Consider the extensive efforts and the risk and the dangers he underwent to take the gospel to the lost. Just read about his words of affection and compassion, his self-sacrifice and brotherly kindness and heartfelt concern. Listen, if you will, to his admonitions as well as his stern warnings, his stout rebukes, and the way he labeled the false teachers, and his exhortations, his disciplinary corrections. Were they not all motivated by love, seeking the other's highest good? On one occasion, I received a note from a brother who obviously held a grossly distorted view of love. Following a relatively strong sermon against and the exposure of the doctrine unity and diversity, this person, who harbored more compromise than he would admit, ask for book, chapter, and verse for manifesting a spirit of disgust and dislike in public for error, and writing that used such a long series of synonyms of disgust against what was wrong. You see, he had judged the use of such to be a lack of love. He said it was a display of a spirit lacking compassion and consideration. I simply responded to him, "Have ye never read?" Friend, he did err, not knowing the Scriptures. He had never considered the words of Jesus Christ publicly spoken in rebuke against the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, Matthew 23. Did he not have acquaintance with the strong words and actions of Paul told Elymas in Acts chapter 13? Or in Philippians chapter 3, as he described enemies of the cross? What would possess a person to find fault with strong condemnation of error and try to conceal his dislike for the exposure of error with the charge that those who expose it lack love? Was Paul disgusted with those who were false? Well, the answer was absolutely yes. Did he not love them nonetheless, even as he rebuked them? Again, the answer is yes. This fallacious concept of love would rid the church of ever confronting error anywhere. I suppose some would like that. It is a faulty position, and it is an unwarranted and erroneous judgment of others' hearts to denounce the denunciation of sin, as if doing so was contrary to love. Such condemnation of the condemnation of wrong has always characterized those who are willing to compromise the truth. But the condemnation of sin and error is characteristic of God's servants now, as has always been true of the faithful down through the ages. Such attitudes that only oppose opposing error would, in some cases, have even silenced the voice of Christ, as well as the apostles, as they spoke out against sin. It charges a lack of love, they say, but that misrepresents love. And we wonder what extrasensory power those who condemn the condemnation of wrong, it makes them capable of judging the hearts of others and to damn them for lacking love. Those who condemn error love the word. They love the lost. They love the saved far more as they teach the truth. And those who opposing sin and error, they know not what they do. Oh, they may seem pious, they may claim compassion, but really they're compromising. They're willing to fellowship the evil works of darkness. And some of the meanest people I've ever known have had the misfortune knowing some of them. They're prolific in mouthing love, 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 but they have no spirit of Christ in them. They have not the slightest concept of Christian love and what it is and what it demands, or even how it's manifested. Now, I've only cited Paul and a few references to Christ. We can look into the Old Testament prophets and see the same thing over and over again. As for the New Testament, let me ask you, was John the Baptist a man of hate, as he exposed the evildoers of his day in Matthew 3? And what of Peter and John when they were before the Jewish council? Were they fighters? Yes. Were they loyal subjects to Christ? Yes. Were they loving? Again, the answer is yes. But now back to Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said, "Be ye imitators of me, as I also am of Christ." Paul was a fighting Christian who was a loving subject. He imitated Christ, and who are we to imitate? We cannot be Christians today without doing as Christ and his apostles did. We must be fighting as well as loving subjects. The two activities of word and deed, they go hand in hand. Who would take away the sword and the shield and the spirit and the armor of the soldier of the cross under the deceptive guise that to use them is a lack of love? God's favor does not rest upon those who would do such as that. So we would admonish all brethren everywhere, be a fighting Christian in the spiritual warfare of Christ, and be a loving, loyal subject to Christ, speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.